Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there, everybody. I am not sure if we're going to be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center or not. I'm not seeing our phone lines working really right now.
Oh.
Been trying to get this fixed all morning. So far, no, it doesn't look not looking really good right now. So I'm not sure if we're going to get an update from them or not. We'll keep going here. We'll keep rolling and see what happens. We'll see if they are able to call through or not. If not, we'll go ahead and get a forecast update for you. We'll get that in a couple of times before the end of the hour. And in a little bit, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to diving into that, celebrating you. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll get into some other stuff a little bit later. Plenty going on. I see that it is, here in Wisconsin Rapids, it is still coming down pretty good. Mm-hmm. Winds are pretty good out there, too.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost horizontal.
Yep. Keep in mind, this stuff isn't sticking too good, which means, of course, it is the wet, slippery, slushy stuff. Leave a little bit early. Take your time getting places. I'm sorry you had school today, kids.
Yeah.
Let us dive into this opening topic here. Did you know anyone who refuses to like anything once it... do you know anybody who refuses to like things once they become popular?
Me.
Yeah, I've known a couple of people like this in my life, especially kind of in high school where you would see them, they would talk about something, like something, it become popular, and then they immediately like destroy it and don't want to, you know, talk about it anymore. Music is, I think, a big one like this. I think it's a real easy one. That's one that I think of right away.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thread online where people are talking about everyday things that were good but went downhill as soon as they became mainstream. Kind of interesting list.
Facebook?
It's all over the gamut, too. It might show up. We should probably get to the list first. Garage sales, yard sales, and flea markets. Now that reselling vintage things is hot, the prices for people's junk has skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
The Food Network. It used to be a good place to learn new recipes and techniques, but now it's filled with reality competition shows and over-the-top stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same goes for a few other cable TV channels.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody old enough to remember when Arts and Entertainment stood for, A&E stood for Arts and Entertainment, mm-hmm. and not just whatever they're doing now with reality TV and all those things and stuff?
Yeah.
The Learning Channel is filled with nothing but reality TV.
Oh, that's sad.
It is.
It all is sad. It is really, and it's sad to see these them go this route. It's cheaper television,
and
people are not watching TV as much as they used to. They're not watching cable as much as they used to. Company, and probably going to see even more of this before you're going to see more network sitcoms coming back or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. There are a few like food competition shows that I like.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Iron Chef?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids version of that is kind of fun. Where they get a basket of ingredients or whatever and they got to figure out something cool to make out of it. I think
Chopped.
That's neat. Yeah. Oh, Chopped. Thank you.
I used to like that one. I haven't watched it in years, but I used to like that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one where they go into the grocery store and you got 10 minutes to grab everything and run out. But that's the only one would I like. Only kind of competition show I'm talking about, like Jeopardy, anything that I would ever watch, just so that if that ever happened to me, what I would do and how I would handle
strategy.
It.
Yeah,
completely one of the very few times I'm like this in life where I'm ever like, oh, I would do this. I'm not an armchair quarterback with a lot of things, except maybe that competition. Oh, they shouldn't have grabbed that turkey. That's going to slow them down. What are they thinking? Oh, the aerodynamics of that cart. You shouldn't have grabbed that cart. Grab a different cart.
And then Guy Fieri took it next step and has Guy's Groceries Games where he has professional chefs come in and gives them a list or something like that. They have to run and get the ingredients, and then they have to make it right there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then they're eliminated, so you come down to the last two. So, yeah.
I don't want to say it like I don't think some of these shows aren't creative. I just feel like it's you'd be so much better served. What was it? They used to have like the Barefoot Contessa and things mm-hmm. like that and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like it seemed like they were shows
farm
that
to table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't just teach you like recipes, but like little techniques or yep. life hacks or health tips and those kind of mm-hmm. things. Like mm-hmm. that's what I always thought the Food Network is always going to be. And now it's kind of it still does some of that, but it's mainly a reality network.
Right.
Las Vegas. It's become way more expensive and less classy, a lot of people say.
Yeah, I could say that it's true.
Las Vegas cannot decide what it wants to be.
Okay.
For forever, Vegas was that place you went for, bachelor parties and things that you didn't want anybody else to know you were doing and mm-hmm. stuff. And then Vegas got tired of that and tried to be family oriented and go the Disney route. And they did that for a while. And now it looks like they're going back to the whole, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas thing.
Right.
Like they can't make up their mind. voice acting. It used to be professionals who did amazing work, but now every animated movie and audiobook has celebrity actors in the voices.
Mm-hmm.
Some mm-hmm. of that is good. Some of that is god-awful.
Yep.
Like, just because they are a famous actor does not mean that they have a great speaking voice or are really good at those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that certain actors, like, train, work, and only work in voice acting. Because not only are they really good at it, but this is their trained profession. This is
right.
what they do. I've heard plenty of actors who don't normally do narration and those things do a really good job with it. Ewan McGregor is very good at these things.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've heard other actors who I think are incredible actors, horrible at it, just bad. It's no different than, because we deal with this ourselves. For every person that wants to do their own commercial that is good at it, there are 90 businesses out there that it's like just nails on a chalkboard.
Yep.
And we all know what we're talking about. We all know the businesses and everything. You've got it in your head. I'm not saying there's a specific one. I mean the ones in your head that you're
right.
thinking of,
mm-hmm.
Like local commercials. Like you hire us to write these things, to produce these things. Let us sell this for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to sell your product as well as we will sometimes. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes there's plenty of times where, what's his name? Greg Culver, the guy in charge of, he does a fine job, mm-hmm. Doing the commercials and things like that. There's plenty of people who have been the face of the franchise while also, being the owner of the franchise or creator
right.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's impossible. But more times than not, a local business is not served as well because you're not letting the people you hire do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
If you want 5, 10, 15 seconds of fame, get it. Go do something else. Don't bring your business down just trying to get your 15 seconds of fame here. Like, and I'm saying this because I care about the job. I care about the work.
Right.
Not because I think that it's. It's actually easier for us when they want to do their own work. They want to voice their own commercials
mm-hmm.
or those kind of things. So it's not like it's harder lifting for us. It just doesn't. I don't feel like we get to do our job.
Right.
If you want to do voice work, then go into voice work.
Mm-hmm.
whatever you're doing, then quit doing it and go into voice work. Etsy.com. It used to be filled with talented people's handmade items. Now many accounts are just reselling items bought at Walmart and Amazon. I haven't seen a lot of that.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
I don't spend a whole lot of time on Etsy. I never really... I got into it a little bit at first, that and Pinterest, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a waste of time to me now. And money.
Food trucks. Now that they're trendy, they're changing restaurant prices.
Hmm.
Huh.
I don't...
Changing okay. restaurant prices?
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Hmm. There's some pushback that people are saying restaurant prices are going up because food truck prices are lower.
Gotcha.
Up your game.
Depends on the food truck, too.
Yeah.
I've seen expensive food trucks.
Oh, absolutely.
Expensive food trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Music that goes viral on TikTok. It used to be TV commercials that ruined songs. Now people
mm-hmm.
hate music that's overplayed on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Beth, you had this one earlier. Facebook.
There you go.
One person said it literally went downhill the minute our parents started to use it. Regardless of whose fault it is, Facebook and Twitter have gone from fun amongst friends to most people just posting news headlines and making snarky comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
some of the comments are just, I just shake my head.
Yeah. And the advertisements. I mean, it used to be that it was just you saw each other's posts and shared pictures and updates. And now, you know, every, third post that you see on your newsfeed is an advertisement for something.
Yeah.
And don't click on any of them.
No,
whatever you do.
Yeah. I don't care if it's your own mother's advertisement. Don't click on it. Yeah. Just stay away from that stuff. Youth sports. They used to be a fun way for kids to try something new, but now they're super serious, mm-hmm. time-consuming, and parent-driven.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going on for quite some time, though.
Yeah. I don't know what this whole used-to-be thing. As long as I've been alive, youth sports have been. I grew up in a very sports family, and as far as I knew, it was always this. Has it gotten a little more like this? Sure, that I could see, but the idea that this wasn't always the case. There's no father alive that ever saw his kid like catch a ball that he wasn't supposed to catch or throw a kid out or anything like that that didn't immediately start thinking of, oh, that. Is that the next, great player? Is this the next whatever or anything like that? Every parent's almost done that. It's something that I don't think that necessarily has a complete negative connotations to it. I don't believe the only time that I think everybody gets a trophy day should be a thing is like with animals. Like animal competitions, like the kennel competition, like the dog competitions they do every year and everything. Mm-hmm. Every dog should get a trophy like that. Sure. Like give them all the participation trophy. I don't care. When it comes to kids, when I think of my own children and everything, let alone my godchildren or anything like that, I want them to win everything they ever do. Mm-hmm. I want them to experience winning. I don't want them to ever lose anything in life. However, that's not going to be how things work out. They're going to lose things in life.
Right.
I want them to learn when they're young what that's like. Do you want to prepare for it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to see a 20-year-old that's never experienced losing before all of a sudden for the first time lose? All of a sudden for the first time not get a job? Not get this? I have a feeling we know how that ends, and it's very tragic. It's very intense.
Unless I'm misremembering, which is a total possibility, but one of the reasons why we're dealing with such a crisis of depression in college-age students is because parents for so many years were taking away all of the problems, so they were never given the opportunity to develop the skills with how to handle disappointments and how to handle being on their own. When mom and dad do everything for you, then you expect everybody else to do everything for you.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a dirty secret of life we don't really talk much about and everything, but we are made from bad days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that we don't good things don't learn from them, don't have good experiences and don't grow from them mm-hmm. or anything, but it is very seldom that you look at that greatest moment of your life and say, well, that was the moment that made me.
Right.
That was the moment that I grew and I learned from that moment and I became this or this or whatever. Mm-hmm. You grow from tragedies. You grow from losses. It's the importance of it. I said it the other day on the radio. Never let a win get to your heart, or a win get to your head, or a loss to your heart.
Right.
It's a good balance that we have mm-hmm. to live. Children learning that at a young age seems like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sports are great if you treat them the way that they are intended to be. You know,
right.
There's
winners and losers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I also understand the need for some positive reinforcement for those that are trying and know that they're not the best at it. So, mm-hmm. you know,
that's coaching.
Right. Well, but I appreciate certain things like certain 5Ks and things like that. Everybody gets a participation medal, so they get that. But only the people that win get the trophies at the end.
Sure.
So there's that balance between the two.
But completely different worlds to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very different worlds. When sports, we're talking competition. We're talking, I know that 5K, those things can have competition. I'm thinking those things are more along the lines of charities and that kind of stuff. And yes, anything involving that. Give everybody a ribbon. Give everybody a thing. I don't care. That's not as much as the concern to me about every kid getting a trophy and every kid thinking mm-hmm. that they're a winner when winning is earned.
Right.
It should be earned. It's okay. That's not a bad thing in life to have that. Everybody should exceed for that. Say there's the kid who never wins anything. Mm-hmm. How motivated is that kid? That now this there's a big difference to me of a trophy and encouragement. And
right.
I've said this every day of my on the air. I can encouragement, support, cost nothing can mean everything. You can do that while hey, that was a tough game. We lost that one. Let's go get some pizza and talk about it. But you know, I mean, you can find positive ways to get around. You can definitely do that. Streaming services wrap up this list. They're becoming more and more like cable companies that people originally chose choose them over. That goes for a lot of new tech. The ride sharing apps, they're using inexpensive. They're usually inexpensive at the beginning. Behind the scenes, they're subsidized by investors who just want to attract new customers and get us all hooked. Eventually, they need to make money, and when that happens, the prices start hiking up.
Yep.
Or we start having commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which, I mean, that's capitalism. That's consumerism. This is the way this works. We will take a quick commercial break. We will come back, have some more fun with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is do some celebrating. We encourage you to head on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us for celebrating this awesome event, this awesome thing we get to do every day. Wish them a good birthday. And we want to encourage you to send us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or my email, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well, just like our Facebook page, and DM us that way. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to do some celebrating with all of you. We only have one name on the list today. That means we get to put the spotlight right on Barb Walker.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Hope you enjoy your day, Barb. Have a great one. Appreciate whoever got us Barb's birthday. Thank you so much for sending that to us. Let us take a look at our celebrity list. Rooney Mara is 38 today. She was the girl with the dragon tattoo that hit theaters in 2018. She and her sister, Kate, are NFL royalty. Their dad's family, the Maras, own the New York Giants. And their mom's family, the Rooneys, own the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
Rooney and Kate are the great-granddaughters of the New York Giants founder Tim Mara and Pittsburgh Steelers founder Art Rooney Sr. Good actor, too. Very good actor. I thought she was incredible in That Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I thought she did a really good job.
I kind of want to see that movie, but I also kind of don't.
I wouldn't say it was an easy movie to watch, but I've seen it 3 or 4 times. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, because the books were really amazing.
I thought her performance was really good. Her and Daniel Craig were really, really, really good together. There's a couple of great performances by some great character actors in it. I will say one of the reasons I watched it, the music in it, Trent Reznor and Atticus Fitch did it. Trent from Nine Inch Nails. Victoria Beckham is 49.
Wow.
Posh Spice.
Yeah.
I only know that because it's in front of my face right
really?
Now. I
would have.
I knew the name sounded familiar, but I did not know where she was from or never. Yep. So. Jennifer Gardner is 51.
Oh, my goodness.
Good actor.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she's a good actor.
I really like her.
She's been doing a little more work lately. Like, she's kind of gotten back to working again. Just took some time off and everything, and more power to her for that.
Yeah.
It's good to see her working again. Let's see. The great, the funny Adam McKay is 55. Adam McKay is still, doing some work here and there and everything. He's trying to get a name for himself. He's only directed and co-wrote Anchorman, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, The Other Guys, basically anything Will Ferrell has done.
Wow.
Then he ditched Will to become an Oscar winner by co-creating The Big Short, which he also directed. McKay has also gotten his hand in the radio game. He's done some stuff there.
Okay.
Adam McKay is amazing. He just continues to do great, great work. if you all those comedies are great. I love all of his comedies, but The Big Short, if you haven't seen that, that's an important film. That's a like if you want to see the importance of journalism, that movie is it. Michael Keaton is amazing in it. There's such great performances in it. It's a very, very good movie. The wonderful Liz Phair is 56. Singer of Supernova, Divorce Song, Why Can't I?
Okay.
I don't know many 90s kids that don't know Liz Phair. She's just pretty great. Lila Roshan is 59. Waiting to Exhale, Harlem Nights, Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Great actor.
Okay.
Yeah, really good actor. Let's see here. A bunch of lost actors celebrating the birthdays. Henry Ian Cusack is 56. He was Desmond on Lost and Marcus on The 100. William Mafor is 58, Tom Cruise's cousin. He had a small part in Mission Impossible 2, but you know him better as Ethan on Lost.
Okay.
And J. Scott Caldwell is 73. She was Rose on Lost. Okay.
Wow.
I wish you and I had watched Lost now, so I know who these people were.
Norman Esiason is 62, but most of us know him better as Boomer.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason is 62 today. Former NFL quarterback and Monday Night Football commentator. Now he's on CBS pregame. Sean Bean is 64, one of my favorite character actors of all time. Boromir in Lord of the Rings, Ned Stark in Game of Thrones, Zeus in Percy Jackson, National Treasure. He was Agent 006, the villain in GoldenEye.
Okay.
You know Sean Bean, you just may not be able to like know him by name.
Right.
But I guarantee you know who Sean Bean is. One does not simply march into... he's so good. He's so darn good. Yeah, I find him to be one of those just fantastic actors. Anytime I see him, I get excited. I know I'm going to enjoy a performance or I enjoy something about it. Afrika Bambaataa is 66, hip-hop pioneer. Planet Rock. Boy, you can't tell the music of the history of hip-hop without talking about Afrika Bambaataa. Let's see here. Jan Hammer is 75. Czechoslovakian composer who brought us the theme song to Miami Vice. I cannot hear that not immediately put think of just the movie. Yeah, I mean the TV show. Yeah, the opening credits of the TV
the
show.
The ocean and
that's like all I knew about Florida forever. as a kid growing up, like I knew that there was a bunch of sports teams there and like all the like any picture that they had in the crazy clips in that opening is all I thought Florida was flamingos and people playing that
speedboats,
one game. Yeah, speedboats and drug dealers. Like that was like and as far as people no longer with us, we have one name on the list today, Rowdy Piper.
Aww.
Oh, God. Top five favorite wrestlers of all time. 1954 to 2015, WWE Hall of Famer and the star of the cinematic classic, They Live. they don't mention it on here, but towards the end of his life, he would guest star on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
And he was so darn good. He was so funny. Oh, he was so good. Yeah, Rowdy Piper was great.
And he liked to wear a kilt.
Yeah. Piper's Pit. Wrestling, you can't tell the history of wrestling without talking about Rowdy Piper. For every bit of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and guys like that, Rowdy Piper was one of the guys that helped make the wrestling in the 80s. There's no way it's as popular without a guy like Rowdy Piper.
I never was into wrestling, but I remember his name because I remember seeing all the commercials, and he was one of the big ones that they would promote all the time.
He's one of those guys that had the charisma.
Yeah.
He could do the mic work. He could sit there. He didn't mind being the villain. He didn't mind being, stretching so that somebody else could get through an injury or whatever. Like he was made for it. He was so built for wrestling. One more time, we want to wish a happy birthday to Barb Walker. Enjoy your day, Barb.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Don't forget to go get your free piece of pie.
That's right. Stick around for Melissa's news. Otherwise, we encourage you to get on over to Misty's. Treat yourself. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Sid Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. We hope you're having a good Monday out there, everybody. going to get into some fun stuff before we get to the top of the hour. 44% of Americans think that there is a good chance AI will take us all out.
Wow.
According to a new poll. But if we were betting on what takes us down, AI is not what most people would put their money on.
Okay.
Interesting. There are six other doomsday scenarios we see as even more likely. 1,000 people were polled, so take that in consideration. I don't think that's a very big number of people being polled there, so... I don't know how much that really plays into the factors of this or anything, but let's go ahead and just take a look.
Okay.
Nuclear weapons. 70% of us think that there is a good chance that'll be the one.
Mm-hmm.
another world war. 67% of people think that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Armageddon or an act of God. 62% believe that. I feel like those are two very different things. I feel like, at least, just to me and the definitions I have in my head, I would think that they would separate that, but okay.
Well, Armageddon is the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I mean, by definition, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, okay. Hmm. I don't think it's worth nitpicking. It is what it is.
No, that's...
Yeah. A pandemic, 56% believe that will.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Climate change. 53% of people believe that will.
Yeah.
Because of all the natural disasters that are coming from the effects of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening.
I mean, you can't watch, you can't do, there's nothing you can pay attention to and not think of climate, not think of the world and the way that the crazy weather we're getting and around the whole world and these things.
Mm-hmm. And the things that are happening in our oceans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scary.
An asteroid. 50% of us believe that's what's going to take us out. I don't think that's unrealistic or anything necessarily, but that seems like the old one now.
Right.
Like, yeah. We've already done that movie.
I was just going to say, they already made that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of we're going to get hit by an asteroid, and it's not that people don't believe it. It's like, that's boring.
This is how we go?
Really?
AI came in at number 7. 44% believe that will.
Okay.
A global inability to have kids, like in The Handmaid's Tale, 36% say that. Is that what that show's about? Huh. I didn't know that.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's something to do with restricting women's rights. I've not watched it yet either.
Hmm.
Me neither.
An alien invasion, 25% think that is possible. People were also asked how long they think we have left, and over a third of us are either very optimistic or very pessimistic. 18% think that we're going to be gone in 10 years.
Wow.
Another 18% think that we will still be here a million years from now.
A million years? Wow.
Yeah.
I will say this. The planet could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, whether there's human life on it, whether human life can live on it or any of those things and stuff, I'm not sure. But I feel like feel pretty safe saying that the planet will definitely still be here. Yeah. Whether we're going to be or not is up to us.
Right.
That's not something that anybody else can decide. Only we can decide then. Only we can figure out if we really want to be here or not.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to make sacrifices. We've got to work together. We've got to, you know, all agree on what truth is and what facts and science are and everything. So we'll see. We'll see, you know, how this all plays out. But the one thing on this list that I didn't see, and granted, I'm threading the needle here a little bit and everything, but us.
Yeah.
Like us. We're the reason we might not be here in 10 or a million years or whatever is us. Mm-hmm. All these things have to do with us. Like the asteroid, okay, I'll give you that. The asteroid, we didn't necessarily cause that, okay? We didn't ask for that one or anything.
We can't really do that one to ourselves.
Although, we should have never made asteroid cologne. Like, what did we think was going to happen? We're going to attract asteroids. I don't know why we ever invented that. I don't know. I think that all of this stuff is the fact that we talk about these things. I think helps us a little bit. I think the fact that we like so much of these things, we have in asteroids coming our way. We've seen in the news recently in the last couple of years and everything. Well, we have this, you know, the probe that's going to go there and blow up the asteroid, mm-hmm. or those kind of things. Like a lot of this stuff we have countered. We saw how we handle a pandemic. I think that anything going forward, pandemic wise, we are that much more better at adapting to, right. and handling.
Better prepared.
Yeah.
For.
Yeah. AI is a little ridiculous to me. The idea of artificial intelligence taking over makes a good movie. It doesn't actually make realistic sense.
Right.
Like, until we start, like, let's just make it so computers can't plug themselves in. How about that?
There we go.
Like, because as long as we can unplug them and everything, and as long as they are bound and determined electricity, I don't know. I think it's not bad for sci-fi. It right. kind of stops there.
I would see technology more being hacked and by an individual, and that being the end of us.
Nuclear weapons, another world war. The climate change, mm-hmm. Those are things that, you know, we have our hands on that we can do something mm-hmm. about. The global inability to have kids, I think that's one of those ones that scares us so much, but that's, we couldn't be farther away from that. Mm-hmm. Like all these other ones have, like climate change, some of these things, we've had asteroids come near us, all that. We've never had a time in human history where we had a hard time making more of us.
Right.
But that's a great fear. Like, it's been the fodder for many novels, many movies and everything.
Well, environment can certainly affect the way that women are, or and even men, are mm-hmm. able to procreate mm-hmm. or not. So that there would be some of that tie into maybe, like, climate change and global pandemic and all of that. But, yeah, well, I don't...
Nuclear problems. I mean, radiation is absolutely. Not good for fertility.
That, I think, is more of a side effect from one of the other things happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I think that it's, it on its own seems a little, mm-hmm. I don't want to say far-fetched, it seems a little out there, but yes, you include these other factors and everything, and then it could be, but it's interesting to me of this great fear of this, even though we haven't necessarily dealt with it. We've right. dealt with famine, we've dealt with, you know, all the plagues, we've handled a lot of these different things, so it's understandable that even... There's a thing, survivor's guilt, that most Jews mm-hmm. deal with. Now, I'm a four generations or maybe two, three generations removed from the Holocaust, and even my generation is still dealing with that.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think some of this stuff obviously has a effect on us. Yes. But it's just weird to me that this one is such a noted one. It's used in so often in storytelling and all these other things, and yet it's not something we've really ever dealt with. I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'm just observing. I just think that it's an interesting observation.
Well, and how many of these things could be prevented if we took the time to get to know each other and we started to be more concerned about how everyone is doing rather than just how we're doing?
Well, I think there's a real easy solution to all this. We get rid of all the nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. We get rid of all war. We get rid of all computers and all AI. And yeah, we should be okay, right? Like, that should do it? That no, that won't do it? No? Okay.
Right. Wish.
Then maybe we learn to work together, learn to live together, learn to communicate, and try to make this mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. Maybe that seems like a better, more of a realistic opportunity.
More talking. Yeah.
I'm not giving up my AI. I'm not getting... No, I'm joking. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:47 on the clock. Your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa and Beth. We hope you're having a good start to your week out there. I'm going to dive into this one. Tax day is tomorrow.
Oy.
Just got mine in yesterday. Cut it a little close. Mm. Got my taxes done yesterday. Got it a little close there. I actually had this planned last month, and I had a couple things happen, and then just kind of like skated by. But I didn't update my schedule, and I didn't move it.
Oh,
so
no.
I've been going by these last couple of weeks, not really thinking about it, hearing tax day this, tax mm-hmm. day that, or whatever. And I think in the back of my mind, I just figured I'd gotten it done already.
Right.
Like, I've never done that before. But I don't know what it was, just with the last couple of craziness the last couple mm-hmm. of weeks, or what it's been. But I got lucky on that. I was,
yeah.
Yeah. I did not need. I don't need the tax man coming at me.
No.
Even though tax day is tomorrow, and even though you must file your taxes, some Americans are cool with lying to Uncle Sam.
Oh, no.
Mm.
In a recent poll on morality, only 52% of people said that cheating on your taxes is, quote, always immoral. 27% of people said it's sometimes immoral, and 10% of people said lying on your taxes is never immoral. Women are more likely to think fudging numbers is immoral. The demographic that is most likely to cheat on their taxes is conservative men between the ages of 30 to 44 who make more than $100,000 per year. $100,000 per year.
Wow.
The poll also asked about the morality of other things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Before we're getting into all these other things and everything, let's talk about the taxes and cheating on your taxes. Cheating on your taxes is as smart as cheating on a woman. They will always find out.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's tomorrow or 10 years from now or when it will be, they will find out.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. You are just prolonging the inevitable. Either own up to it or you know, get ready to do some serious time.
Right.
And that's the case with either cheating on somebody or when it comes to cheating on your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The International Revenue Service just put across the budget that I'm hearing they are going to get that is going to add more people. More accessibility. They're looking to be more people friendly and all mm-hmm. this, and clearly get some more bodies over there because they desperately need
right.
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They already were really good at this. Like, hey, you fudged on your taxes 5 years ago. We're coming to collect now.
Right.
You thought you got away mm-hmm. with that. We caught you in the lie, even though it happened for you. Just because it's been 5 years doesn't mean that this stuff there's no There's no statute of limitations on this stuff.
Mm.
Like, they can get you on your taxes from your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got Capone. This is how they got Al Capone. Elliot Ness couldn't get Al Capone, but the tax man got him.
Yep.
Like, I mean, come on. It's what anybody's thinking here with this, it makes, again, as much sense as cheating on your significant other. They're
right.
always going to find out. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. The poll also asked about the morality of other things. So number one on the list, of course, cheating in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
65% of people believe it's always immoral. 19% say sometimes, and 9% think it's never immoral. Of course they do.
Sometimes it's immoral?
No, they think it's never immoral. 19% said sometimes,
yeah.
and 9% think it's never immoral. So it's apparently always okay.
So it's situational whether or not it's immoral
apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, that's that
well,
ain't
I mean,
right.
There are different thought processes mm-hmm. on that. And if people want to be in a so-called open relationship, that's a conversation to have with your significant other.
If
then it's not
Yeah, if you're cheating. In an open relationship, you're not cheating, though.
Right.
That's not, that right. does, that doesn't, so
yeah.
that just kind of counters that. And it's not,
True.
Yeah, that's not, yeah. If you're in an open relationship, I have no problem with that. That is no, you know, that's teach their own and everything like that. But the cheating thing is wrong. There's
mm-hmm.
never a scenario. I don't care if you've been married for 100 years, divorce. If you don't want to be with the person, you don't have to be with the person.
Mm.
There's no reason for this. Oh, but financial situations. Oh, the kids, blah, 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 blah. End it. End
mm-hmm.
it. There's no reason for it. You are putting you, the other person, and anybody else that's got to deal with it through a bunch of stuff that they don't need to go through. There's a lot of people out there. Go find somebody else.
Yeah.
Paying for sex. 43% of people believe it's always immoral, 29% say sometimes, and 14% think it is never immoral. I don't know what to do with those numbers.
Yeah.
How about downloading pirated stuff on the internet? 38% of people believe it's always immoral, 33% say sometimes, and 11% say it's never immoral. Hmm.
Wow. Is it me or are the numbers going down?
Yeah.
Like the total of people that have been, like the percentages, they're not adding up to 100 anymore, are they?
No, it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it. Underage drinking. 34% of people believe it's always immoral. 37% say sometimes, and 16% think it's never immoral.
Hmm.
Yeah. Not sure about that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Sharing passwords for a streaming service. 23% of people believe it's always immoral. 34% say sometimes, and 25% think it's never immoral.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me that it went that way.
Yeah. Eating meat. 7% of people believe it's always immoral. 20% say sometimes, and 59% think it is never immoral.
Eating meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is an interesting topics they've chosen for this survey.
Yeah. I no longer care about the results of this survey. I want to know the survey the makers. I want people to know and what they were like, the room that they were when. I want to be in the room.
Should we ask them?
Yeah. What they were coming up with these questions and everything. Speeding. 20% of people believe it's always immoral. 48% say sometimes. 18% think never.
Mm.
Generally speaking, 44% of people say that they are very moral, 37% say that they are somewhat immoral, and 6% say that it's somewhat immoral. And 5% openly admit that they are very immoral, 8% people don't know.
Are they thinking moral equals honest? I mean, I'm trying to figure that out.
We have these you know, books, we have computers, mm-hmm. that I can Google a word and I can look up the definition of said word. Mm-hmm. And yet it still seems like we don't have an agreement on what words mean anymore.
Often we don't.
No. But it just seems like we just pick and choose what we're going to, how this is going to meet, when it's going to apply here or there or whatever. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't. What is it? What is their definition of immoral now? Well, that's where my brain goes. Yeah. Well, that's what I want to know.
Well, and one of the things that I do when I do premarital counseling is I have a list of 10 words that I have each person in the couple. They have to rank them, you know, prioritize 1 to 10, but they also have to define that word. And so we'll go through and see where everybody ranks, and then I'll say, okay, well, you two seem to be very off on this word. How did you define it? And it's often because they've defined it differently. And then when I ask them, if you would have defined it the way that person, would that have changed where you put it? And they will often say yes. So it's that coming to a word or coming to an idea and making sure that you're on the same page as to what you're even discussing. Just because you're using the same word doesn't mean you're thinking the same thing.
Hmm.
Can you give us an example of a word, Beth?
I'm trying to remember what's on that list, because the one that's coming up is good sex, because we do talk about the sexual relationship in premarital counseling. It's a part of the marriage. So,
all right. Important part. Now the conversation's getting interesting. All right.
Education. You know, what do you mean by education? Are you thinking, because one person will hear education, they'll define it as just getting, you know, graduating high school or a degree. For another person, it's that continuing to build and learn and grow and maybe going for a doctorate. And when they hear that, and for it, that'll be a different priority for different people, you know, whether it's things like that. I would have to go back into my documents to figure that, you know, what those words are. But it's amazing, you know, what we think we all agree this is what that word means. Mm-hmm. And often it's the connotation that we're thinking, not the annotation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder if that's where miscommunications happen all the time with people in this country, because English is such a convoluted language already. Mm-hmm. And then you add in that, okay, but I don't agree with what this word means compared to this other person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, moral would be a sense of right and wrong. You know, is it okay to do this? Is it honest to do this or not? Whether or not you get caught, you know, it's, to me, that's what a moral is. But I don't, when I'm listening to this survey, it sounded like, you know, is it okay to do this or not?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would think that it's something your gut tells you too. Like if something's wrong or something's immoral, you don't need to know the definition. There's something in you that tells you this is wrong or this is. Even though you do it, you still may do an action or do a thing. Doesn't, you know, your body, your instincts are telling you shouldn't be doing this or something like that. I think that's another good sign of that. Interesting. Very interesting. I wanted to wrap up on something good, though. That didn't feel that great. That conversation didn't feel very good.
It's got a little awkward.
Going to thegoodnewsnetwork.org. I encourage you to go ahead and check out this complete article. I'm just going to touch on a little bit of it. 3 in 5 Americans care just as much about saving the environment as they do about saving money. As part of a recent survey into the sustainability habits of 2,000 U.S. residents, 64% of those polled said that they care about the health of the planet and their wallet in equal measure. 66% of respondents claimed that they'd be willing to try anything that can help save the environment. 66% of the population would do that.
That's a hopeful sign.
That is good.
Certain sustainable habits proved much more popular than others. 75% said turning off the lights when leaving a room was a primary habit. Similarly, 66% make sure to turn off running water whenever possible. And 63% choose to shower rather than bathe in order to save water. 60% of residents supported recycling. 46% use reusable water bottles. 43% use energy-efficient kitchen appliances. 34% use biodegradable bags for food storage. And 31% use a high-efficiency dishwasher instead of hand-washing dishes. And according to the random double op survey, 39% don't currently monitor the energy use in their home. Interesting there.
Yeah.
And again, almost 70% of people are willing to do anything that it takes to try to get the environment in better shape.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back and the kitchen's open. It's coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.